Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen Davey begins his teaching through the book of Ruth. The opening verses of this book contain some important reminders for us. It reminds us that things like economics and an easier life are not the determining factors in major life decisions. We need to be guided, first and foremost, by God's Word. We need to remember that spiritual compromise can have tragic consequences. This lesson is called Once Upon a Time.
I remember reading to my daughters the enchanting stories of Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. And although they'd heard these same stories over and over again, their excitement never faded when Prince Charming finally showed up. You know, we all enjoy a good fairy tale, but we know they don't come true. They're just make-believe. Well, there happens to be a love story in the Bible that has some of the same elements of a classic fairy tale. You have a damsel in distress, a prince who comes riding in to save the day. And I want to tell you, this one is for real. It's called the Book of Ruth. Now, according to Jewish tradition, God used the prophet Samuel to record this wonderful love story between Boaz and Ruth so that future generations could read it. And here in the opening verse, we're told that this little love story took place in the days when the judges ruled. Now, we've just finished the book of Judges, and it reveals that this was a time of national defiance against God. And what that tells us is Boaz and Ruth don't have many good examples. They live in a wicked time, in a wicked culture. But let me tell you, they're going to prove that it's possible to live a godly life in the middle of an ungodly culture. Now, verse 1 begins. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. Now, during these wicked days in Israel, during the days of the judges, God sends a famine to the land. Elimelech, his wife, and his two sons are living in Bethlehem, and now they're facing, really, a genuine crisis. I mean, the hayloft is empty, and so is the cupboard. Bethlehem means house of bread. So the people living in the house of bread are now starving. More than likely, this famine is the same one mentioned in Judges chapter 6, which would then place the book of Ruth in the time frame of Gideon. This famine, then, was the result of Israel's rebellion against God. And this famine is intended to bring the nation to their spiritual senses. God didn't want the people to leave the house of bread. He wants them to repent. But the problem is Elimelech isn't going to wait around. So instead of repenting, he leads his family into the idolatrous region of Moab. Over in Psalm chapter 60 and verse 8, the Lord calls Moab his wash basin. That is a bowl to wash your dirty feet in. Now, Moab was not only a real place, but it becomes a metaphor that indicates filth and trash. So here's a family leaving the house of bread and moving to the trash heap. Now, as you notice, there are six individuals on stage during this opening scene. You've got Elimelech. His name means My God is King, and his wife Naomi, her name means pleasant. Their sons are Mahlon and Chilion. In the Hebrew language, their names rhyme. Some scholars believe these boys are twins. Well, their names might rhyme, but they don't have very good meanings. Mahlon means weakness, and Chilion means wasting. Now, these boys get married to unbelieving Moabite girls. Verse 4 gives us their names, Orpah, which means obstinate. That's a lovely name for a girl. And then there's Ruth, and her name means comfort or perhaps friend. So here in this love story, all the characters are really going to play out the meanings of their names in one way or another. That is all except one, Elimelech. His name means God is his master. None of that comes through in the decisions he makes here. We're told here in verse 2 that Elimelech is an Ephrathite. That's a leading citizen back there in the town of Bethlehem. Elimelech could stand on the ridge of hills there on the edge of Bethlehem, and he could look over into the fertile fields of Moab on the other side of the Dead Sea. You know, I'm wondering, maybe he told himself, well, I'll only take my family over there for a few months. God won't mind. I mean, why stay here and starve when the grass is greener over there in Moab? But I want you to notice the digression in terms used here. Verse 1 says, they went to sojourn. That refers to a temporary stay. Verse 2 says, they remained there. That is, they settled down. In verse 4, we read, they lived there about 10 years. Now, there's no immediate sign that God's unhappy with Elimelech. In fact, for 10 years, he and his family have food. They've got a home to live in. They even celebrate two weddings. The problem is, they've walked away from a community they should have helped return to the Lord. I don't think Elimelech intended to adopt Moabite culture. I don't think he planned on adopting their worship of Chemosh, which included child sacrifice. He probably just said to himself, you know, we're not going to become Moabites. We're just going to go live with them until this famine blows over. But before you know it, he's picking out a couple of Moabite girls for his sons to marry. And 10 years pass by. Let me tell you, nobody ends up in the trash heap of sin overnight. It's a lot of little steps. It's just one little phone call. It's just one small bet. It's just one tiny sip. It's one little lie. It's one little click of the mouse. And before you know it, you've traded in the house of bread for the trash heap. And I can tell you ahead of time, Elimelech will never make it back home. Look at the rather tragic consequences here in verse 3. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Verse 5, we're told, both Mahlon and Chilion died. And the verse adds for emphasis that Naomi is left without her two sons and her husband. Let me make two observations from this opening scene here in the first chapter of Ruth. First, doing what seems to make sense might actually be disobedience. Moving to Moab made wonderful economic sense, but it became a great spiritual loss. And you know, my friend, disobedience can make sense to us because, frankly, we can justify anything. I like to think of it this way. The heart of all our problems is the problem in all our hearts. We are so often the greatest obstacle to living for God. Why? Because our hearts, Jeremiah wrote, are deceitful and desperately wicked or sick, ill. They can deceive us. The opening scene here in this drama is going to end with three funerals and three widows. And maybe Naomi realizes for the first time how far they had strayed from God. Well, there's a second observation I want to make, and here it is. No matter how far you've strayed, it's never too late to come back to God. If you're a believer in Christ and you've made some sinful decisions that dishonor God, let me encourage you, don't let the distance you've traveled keep you from taking the first step in coming back home to God. The consequences may last longer than you'd like, but let them become reminders of the dangers of sin. And at the same time, let them remind you of the grace of God. And the good news is, this is not the end of their story. You know, God has a way of redeeming wasted years And this opening scene is an introduction to a lot of surprises. One of them is that something is going to happen in the heart of one of these idolatrous Moabite widows. And that's going to have to wait until next time in our wisdom journey. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson called Once Upon a Time. This is the Wisdom Journey, and with today's lesson, Stephen Davey begins his teaching series through the Book of Ruth. If you'd like to dive deeper into your study of this book, Stephen has full-length sermons from when he preached through this book to the church he pastors. You'll find those on our website, wisdomonline.org. Visit there today, and then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.